Welcome to the Turning Point Community Church Change Your World podcast with lead pastor John Wagner. Turning Point strives to bring fresh insight and powerful truths from God's unchanging word. Now, here's John with today's message.
Let me tell you a story. A rabbi taught that with encounters with God can never be planned or achieved. He actually said they are spontaneous moments of grace, almost accidental. His student asked, "Rabbi, if encounters with God are just accidental, then why do we work so hard doing all these spiritual practices?" The rabbi replied, "To be as accident-prone as possible." The disciples really stumbled upon something. They had seen and they had heard Jesus pray. They saw the results, and the results were staggering. And so in Luke's gospel, it says, "Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray.'" Say that with me today. "Lord, teach us to pray." When we pick up the story in Matthew, Jesus first says, in essence, "Okay, but first let me tell you how not to pray." And he says to them, "When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, who love to pray in public. They stand on the street corners and they pray, and people applaud their prayers." And he said they have their reward. Of course, he's referencing Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes who would literally, the Pharisees in the days of Jesus, 6,000 of them in and around Jerusalem in that time, they would literally, at the hour of prayer, they would stop wherever they were, in essence, stop traffic, so everyone could watch them and hear them pray, and they would lift up their voices and say, "I thank thee, O God, that I am not like other men. I am not a woman. I am not a dog." That's how they started their prayers, for real. And people said, "Oh, look at that. That's awesome." Jesus said, "They've got their reward." He said, "Now, the second thing I don't want you to do is I don't want you to pray in vain repetition. Don't just pray the same thing over and over again, rote repetition." And I find it amazing how the prayer we're about to study today in many major religions is prayed repetitiously over and over and over. Jesus said, "Instead, I want you to go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who's in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret, He'll reward you. Lord, teach us to pray." Jesus responds to the request with these words. He says, "In this manner, therefore, pray." In this manner. King James Bible says, "after this manner." In other words, according to this template, after this pattern, therefore, pray. How many of you know prayer is easier than we think? You know, sometimes we think it's too hard or too high or too holy. And when we do that, it's often because we're looking for excuses not to pray. Truth is, we can all do it. We can all pray. We can all practice His presence. And it doesn't matter how much of a novice you may think you are. How many of you know it's never a problem if you think you're a novice? It is a big problem if you think you are an expert. Can I get an amen? When it comes to prayer, you don't have to master some mystical method. The Lord makes it easy. And here's how. The prayer template that we're about to study, it frees us from the pressure to be spiritually creative when we pray. And the amazing thing is that this pattern will lead the least creative among us into creative moments with God, where God the Holy Spirit, you know, guides us into spontaneous encounters with Him. We'll wind up on a journey with Jesus into brand new territory. We don't have to make things up. Instead of fabricating something snappy to garner God's attention, instead of, you know, having to formulate some sort of lofty religious language, Jesus Himself, you know, He invites us to lose all such forced originality and actually plagiarize a pattern. In this manner, pray. Two things I want you to notice before we really dive in, and they are, number one, it's a pattern of prayer that has changed the world and will change you. A pattern means that there's room to improvise. And that's really the supernatural aspect of it. It's the most exciting, it's the most inviting part of it. I've been doing exactly what I'm going to share with you this morning. I've been doing it for more than 30 years. And yet it remains fresh every time. How many of you know that's a miracle? I'm led in different directions all the time. Each demarcation in this prayer is like dropping a pebble into a pond where it reverberates and where the ripple effects go in so many different directions. It's God starting and directing the conversation. It's Him leading you to pray for things that you would have never thought to pray for on your own. The second thing I want to note is this: the pattern was given before the cross. That is extremely important. It's given before the cross. Jesus teaches this before He goes to the cross. So that means it was originally given by Jesus under the old covenant. I know we're reading from Matthew, but it's still under the old covenant. Follow this. Again, it's recorded in the New Testament, but it's before the cross, so it's old covenant. The New Testament starts at Matthew. The new covenant starts at the cross. Are you following me? So the teaching is really under the law. You're going to see it. It's under the if you do, then God does. If you do first, God does second. If you do, then God will respond. But after the cross, that order changes. The cross changed everything. The it is finished changed everything. It's no longer if you do, then God will. Now it's He first, and then we respond. For instance, it's no longer if you live right, then you'll be accepted by God. Now it's you are freely accepted by God so you can live right. I did an entire series about this called Before and After. And if you were not here for that, it's a couple years ago now. You should either listen or watch on our app, because it is vital to understand the difference between old and new covenant. Because what you believe about God is the most important thing about you. Rightly dividing the word of truth with the cross as the dividing line. It leads to right thinking, and right thinking leads to right believing, and right believing changes everything. You see, prayer, like any other spiritual discipline, is a response to grace. It's a response to what He has accomplished. It's a response to what He has promised. And there are a couple of places in this prayer pattern where I will point this out, because again, it's really, really important. By the way, what we're about to study is commonly known as the Lord's Prayer. Probably not a great title for it. Jesus did not title this prayer. And if there ever was a Lord's Prayer, it's probably the high priestly prayer that we see in John chapter 17. That would be the Lord's Prayer, the longest recorded prayer we have of Jesus as He's in the Garden of Gethsemane. A lot of people have corrected it and said, well, this isn't the Lord's Prayer. Because He taught it to the disciples, they call it the disciples' prayer. But we're going to see something a little different today. An unknown poet wrote this little ditty. He said, "You cannot pray the Lord's Prayer and even once say I. You cannot pray the Lord's Prayer and even once say my. Nor can you pray the Lord's Prayer and not pray for one another. And when you ask for daily bread, you must include your brother. For others are included in each and every plea. From the beginning to the end of it, it doesn't once say me." That might be the Lord's Prayer according to Dr. Seuss. I'm not exactly sure, but... Now, I would not say that you can't say me or my or I when praying through this pattern. In fact, we will. It's a pattern. It's not a law. I actually think it is very important to personalize, you know, biblical principles. I don't think it's an either or. I think it's a both and. But point well taken. And that's why today, for the sake of our study, I want to call this the us prayer. This is a prayer not only for ourselves, but for others. This is a prayer of intercession. This is a prayer where we stand in the gap, not unlike Jesus, our intercessor, and we take the hand of somebody, and we take the hand of God, and we bring them together. This is where we stand in that gap. This is a together prayer. This is a koinonia prayer. This is a community prayer. This is a common unity prayer. prayer, the us prayer. The Bible calls faith a shield. In the ancient world, there were armies, by the way, who would interlock shields. You see how your chair is interlocked, right? I don't know if you could tell, but between the cushions, there's these little hook things. Well, back in the ancient world, there were armies that had hooks on the side of their shields, and what they would do is they would hook their shields together and create a wall of shields as they would charge enemy territory, because that unity would bring fortification. Can I tell you something? When we pray this prayer pattern for one another, we're interlocking shields of faith. So here's what we're going to do. If you'll notice in your bulletin, there's a really different format from this point forward, because I'm going to walk you through what I've been doing for 34 years, using this prayer as a template. And I want you to write down what speaks to you. I want you to be led by the Spirit of God in your note-taking this morning. Because if you expect God to speak to you, He will. And at the end, what we're going to do is we're going to put it into practice. I'm going to put into practice exactly what we've studied. So let me just grab my Bible. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 9, where Jesus says, "In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Notice it's our Father. Yes, He is my Father. And when I pray this prayer, I remind myself, I thank Him for being my Father, my Abba, my dad. I thank Him for that. But the Bible says specifically that He is also a father to the fatherless. And I think we're living in a time when a lot of people have an orphaned heart. And our God is a father to the orphaned heart. So people that you have in your life that you see have that void, have that emptiness on the inside, this is a great place to make it an us prayer and pray for people that have that. Yes, He is my Father, but He is our Father. Actually, Paul, the apostle, said in Ephesians, he said, He is the Father from whom the whole family in heaven and earth are named. Our Father in heaven, hallowed, holy, respected, to be revered, is your name. How many of you know the name of the Lord is a strong tower? The Bible says the righteous run into it and are safe. This is where what I do is I just start to rehearse the names of God. Because the names of God reveal the character of God. The names of God reveal the nature of God. The names of God reveal the ability of God. The names of God reveal the glory of God, who He is essentially and what He does essentially. So I'll just start, you know, talking about the names of God in prayer. Lord, thank You that You are Elohim. You are the Creator God, that You are Yahweh. You are the covenant God, a personal God. You are the Yod, He, Vav, He, name that is too sacred to say. Hallowed be Your name. You are Shaddai. You are the God who is more than enough. You are Adonai. You are Lord over all. You are Yahweh, Yireh, or Lord in West Texas, You are Jehovah Jireh. Which actually literally means the Lord who will see to it. Lord, You'll see to it. You provide a ram in the thicket. You'll see to it. You are my provider. You are Jehovah Rapha. You turn bitter into sweet. You are the Lord, our God, our healer. You are the Lord, our God, our physician. You are Jehovah Shalom. You are my peace, my security, my safety, my spirit, soul, and body wholeness. That's who You are. You are Jehovah Tzidkenu. You are my righteousness. And You are not only mine, but You are our righteousness. You are our healer. You are our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. And Lord, I come to You in the name which is above all names, the super exalted, highly exalted name of Jesus, whereby every knee should bow of things in heaven, in earth, and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Hallowed be that name above all names. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Verse 10, Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come. This is one of those points where you want to stop for a moment and pause and think about the difference between old covenant and new. Again, this is taught before the cross, but after the cross, how many of you know the kingdom of God has come? I said the kingdom of God is this, the rule and reign of God to right every wrong. How many of you know that in the person of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God came? Right? What's the first thing he preached when he walked on the planet? The first thing he preached was repent, change your mind, for the kingdom of God is at hand. It's right here. It's right in front of you. And it came in the person of Jesus. Everywhere he went, the Bible says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good. What did he do? He did good everywhere he went. He righted wrong. So in the person of Jesus, the kingdom came. But at the same time, the kingdom is still coming. The Bible says the increase of his government will have no end. Every single time somebody gives their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, how many of you know his kingdom's coming? It continues to come. It continues to increase. And I've got good news for you today, and that is there will be a day when it comes in all of its fullness. It rights every wrong, new heaven, new earth, every tear wiped away, every sickness healed, no more sorrow. It's not even a possibility, and that day is going to become a reality. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Your will be, this is a great spot. I know for me, when I have decisions in front of me, your will be done. This is where, ready? You relinquish the myth of control. Because control is a myth. Amen? How many of you have lived long enough to know control is a myth, right? Right? It's a myth. You can't control outcomes. It's not your place. So you say, Lord, I relinquish. Lord, I surrender. Your will be done. It's like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, right? Not my will, but thine be done. This is a great place. John the Baptist said, I must decrease so he may increase. Your will be done. And I've come to the place to know that I want God's will more than I want my will every day of the week and twice on Sundays, right? Your will be done. Where? On earth, as it is in heaven. We sung it just a few minutes ago. On earth, as it, say that with me. On earth, as it is in heaven. So here's where I start with that. I start with on earth. The Bible says this is an earthen vessel, that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. So Lord, your will be done in this earthen vessel, even as it is in heaven. But now this is a great place. Again, it's an us prayer. So now I pray also, your will be done in my neighborhood. And your will be done in my family. And your will be done in my marriage, even as it is in heaven. Your will be done in my community. And Lord, your will be done in our city and in our nation and in the world. Your will be done on earth, even as it is in heaven. Next verse, verse 11. Give us, there it is, the usper, give us this day our daily bread. I think this is like the shortest part of the prayer, and I think it is the richest in symbolism. I mean, if you think about it, daily bread, you can go all the way back and see the manna that came down from heaven as the children of Israel were in the wilderness, right? God dropped that manna on their doorstep 6 out of 7 days, gave them double on Friday so they wouldn't have to gather on the Sabbath. In the temple, there was bread in the Old Testament, the show bread. You know what it was called? It was called the bread of his presence. Lord, give us the bread of your presence. Give us this bread always. And then, of course, Jesus comes and he says, you remember that manna? He said, listen, Moses didn't give you that bread. My Father gave you that bread, and I am the bread of life. And then, right, Last Supper, what does he do? He breaks bread. And says, this is my body given for you. Lord, give us the bread of your presence. Give us the children's bread of healing. And for me, I pause here for a long time, a lot, because I want to thank him for the bread he's already given. Because on a very practical sense, you understand that bread is provision, right? That he provides for us. Well, I just want to tell you, I think it's true for every single person in this room. God has provided for us in abundance. He's been faithful. I said he's been faithful. He's been faithful to provide, and abundantly so. But again, it's an us prayer. This is a great place to pause and to think of those who are in need, who are in need of healing, who are in need of provision, who may not have the things that you and I might have, who are hurting. And I think when you stop and you pray here and you say, Lord, I pray for this person or that person who's in need, I think it'd be a really good thing here to also say, and Lord, how can I be part of the solution? Here I am, Lord, send me. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us, verse 12, our debts as we forgive our debtors. This is extremely important here to understand the difference between the covenants, that this is taught before the cross. Listen, if you look at that verse at face value and do not rightly divide it before and after the cross, you will get the idea that if I don't forgive, then God won't forgive me. I won't ask for a show of hands. Because it would be almost every one of us that have been taught throughout our lives in church that if you don't forgive, God won't forgive you. Can I just tell you something? That is before the cross. That is old covenant. That is not new covenant. That is not true right now. Let me ask you a question. Can God forgive stealing? Has he forgiven stealing at the cross? Has he forgiven lying at the cross? Has he forgiven unforgiveness at the cross? Yeah, you don't have to die down on your yeses. The answer is yes. It's not a trick question. Not a trick question. See, now the order has changed after the cross. Now we have received forgiveness first so that we can forgive. Can I just tell you something right now? If you don't receive forgiveness, you can't forgive others. Your forgiveness will be superficial. It'll be unsustainable. You have to first receive before you can give. You need to forgive other people with the Lord's forgiveness. I'm wondering if I have time to tell a story. Real quickly. Corrie ten Boom, famous author, speaker, right? Went through the Holocaust. Was in a concentration camp with her sister. And at that concentration, I believe it was Dachau. And at Dachau, she saw her sister walk through the doors. They made the women strip. They were gaunt. They were just skin and bones. They made them strip down to nothing and walk through the doors, and you'd never see them again. She didn't walk through, but she watched her sister. And there was a particular guard there, a particular SS guard, who would grope the women as they went into the gas chambers. And she saw that happen to her own sister, and she could never forget it. Well, after the war was over and Corrie would begin to speak in different places, one day she's speaking just outside of Dachau. War's over. She's got a room full of people, and she preaches on the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. When the lecture is over, she says the crowd is absolutely silent. There's still just a strong pall of shame over everyone. When she's done speaking, they all just file out. Nobody says anything except for one person, one man, as everyone else is leaving, is coming towards her. And she recognizes him. He's not wearing a uniform anymore. He doesn't have the SS on his helmet anymore. But she'll never forget that face. Because that's the man who groped her sister as she went into the gas chambers. And he walked up to her. And he said, "Hello, Fräulein. Wonderful talk on the forgiveness of Jesus. You know, I heard you mention that you were in the concentration camp. So was I." He didn't recognize her, obviously, but she recognized him. He said, "I was wondering, because I loved what you said about the forgiveness of Jesus, but I was just wondering if I could hear it from you. I know Jesus forgives me. Fräulein, do you?" And she said at that moment, she didn't know what to do. All she could do was grab her pocketbook and fiddle through it for a moment, trying to avoid what was happening. And as she's fiddling through her pocketbook, she prays. And she says this, "Lord, I cannot forgive him. I need your forgiveness. And with that, she records that she feels a feeling start at the base of her head, a warmth at the back of her neck that ran literally down her shoulder, into her arm, into her hand, in her pocketbook. And with that, she stuck out her hand and said, I forgive you. And then she added, Ich vergeben mein Bruder. I forgive you, my brother. How many of you know, in your flesh, there's no way you can forgive like that. You can't forgive your enemies like that. You can do a superficial glossing over, oh, I know I'm supposed to forgive, so I forgive. You can do that. But you need the power of Jesus Christ to forgive people. And I'm here to tell you that when he, on that cross, said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He wasn't just talking about Roman soldiers. He wasn't just talking about the temple police. He was talking about every one of us. Forgiveness is here for you. Can I just tell you one other thing? And if Jesus has forgiven you, you ought to forgive yourself too. You should not carry around guilt or condemnation for one more second in your life because Jesus paid the price. You receive that forgiveness. It transforms your life. And now, you're able to forgive even your enemies. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. What a great place to pray for people who need some sort of deliverance. Whether it's an addiction to alcohol, an addiction to illegal drugs, an addiction to prescription drugs, an addiction to gambling, a sexual addiction, this is a great place to pause and pray. It's a great place to pause and pray for deliverance in yourself. If there are things you need to be delivered, bad habits, learned behaviors, things that have to be torn down before you can build back up again, Lord, deliver us from the evil one. This is also a place where I always pause and pray, and I thank God for the protection that is over my wife and my children, my family, our household, everything. How many of you know you are surrounded by a hedge of protection? In Zechariah, it says there is a wall of fire around you. The Bible says that the angels encamp round about us. And I always thank God that my family is covered by the blood of Jesus. And the evil one cannot touch us. He through death defeated him who had power over death, even the devil. For this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And he disarmed principalities and powers and made a show of them openly. The enemy is defeated and disarmed. He can't touch us because of the blood of Jesus. And so here's where we receive that. And we stand on that. And finally, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And this is where I stop and say, Lord, I am yours. I am not my own. I've been bought with a price. My family is yours. This church is yours. You are the head of the church. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and all who dwell therein. And so it's a great place to pause and pray for people's salvation who don't yet know him. Lord, they belong to you. Thank you for their reconciliation. Thank you for their reclamation. Thank you for their restoration. Father, yours is the kingdom and the glory. Lord, if there be any good thing that happens in me or for me or through me, yours is the glory. You get all the glory forever. And then there's the amen. Amen means so beautiful. Be it. Say that with me today. So be it. Oh, say it like you mean it. Ready? So be it. This is where I say, I receive because I believe. And I give you thanks in advance before it ever materializes. And I call it done in Jesus' name. Amen. So be it. Okay, so here's what we're going to do now. We're going from the lecture hall into the lab right now. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're going to put into practice exactly what we just studied. Elena, if you'll come. Laura, you're here. My wife, Dr. Elena Wagner, is coming. And I asked Elena in her beautiful voice if she'll read this out to us. Here's how we're going to do this. She's going to read. You can be seated, baby. Yeah. She's going to read, and then she's going to pause. And as she reads that certain part, I want you to start to pray right there. It's going to take about 10, 15 seconds in between each, but in that time, our Father in heaven, hallowed be, start yourself to apply, to pray, to think out and think through the implications, to pray for people in your lives, maybe people at work, people in your family, people in your neighborhood, distant relatives. What? Pray for them as well, because remember, it's the us prayer. Now, whatever posture you want to take during this, I mean, if you want to get out of your seat and say, you know what, rather than just sit in my chair, I want to come up the front and I want to kneel. Well, then come and do that now. If you want to stand and lift your hands, I mean, you can go full-blown charismatic with this thing right now. Yeah, you can. If you want to turn around and kneel at your seat and use your seat as an altar, maybe you like the posture of kneeling. I know that's your favorite, is the posture of kneeling. It says humility. It says submission to God. You know, but whatever posture you'd like to take, feel free. But whatever you do, make sure you engage your heart through this prayer pattern.
Yes. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Amen.
So be it.
Amen. Thank you, Mom. As we conclude, I want to share one more point with you. I want to leave you with this. I want to go full circle for just a moment. Just before teaching this template, Jesus prefaces it with a promise, and it's a powerful promise. In the sixth verse, I want you to notice something. He said, but you, when you pray, I like that he didn't say if you pray. He said, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Notice, he says, go into your room. King James says, go into your closet. That doesn't necessarily mean your room. It could be a closet. There are times I go into the master bedroom closet, and my wife is right there praying. But it could be any place where you get alone with God. And then he says, when you get there, shut the door. That could be a literal door. But I think it means this. Make sure you shut out all distractions. Probably more appropriate for us than shut the door is turn off the phone. Not on vibrate, off. No text messages, no social media, no distractions. Go to your secret place. Go to the secret place. Go to that place of intimacy with God. Now, at the end of that statement, the word openly does not appear. Not in the original translations. Now, your reward could be open, out in the open, but it could also be inwardly. It could be something very rewarding that happens inwardly, and I think that's actually more important and more precious. So it actually reads, your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And the word reward is what I want to leave you with. In Greek, it's the word apodidomai. Apo means to send off. And didomai means adventure. See, this is how you break away from dead, dry religion. This is how you break through into a living and life-giving relationship with the person of God, the triune God, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. This is how you progressively become more intimately acquainted with Him. Listen, prayer isn't something you have to do. Prayer is something you get to do. Prayer is one of the most priceless privileges a human being ever has to access. This is how you know Him more. This is how you see Him more. This is how you hear Him more. This is how you encounter Jesus at ever deepening levels. And this is how Christianity becomes an adventure. And if you'd think about it just for a moment with me, this is how the adventure of the book of Acts was born, and this is how we are sent off into the adventure of walking with the living God together.
Turning Point reaches people by teaching Jesus with creative excellence. If you would like to learn more about Turning Point Community Church and its ministries, visit us on the web at tpcconline.com. We're located on the northwest corner of 114th Street and Quaker Avenue in Lubbock, Texas. Our service times are Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. Thank you for listening to today's message. Join us next week for another message that will change your world.